Morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and it's on page 1040 of the Pew Bible, or up on the screen as well. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you authority and all the authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against the rock." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
So when you put a sponge into a bucket and fill it with water, is the water in the sponge or the sponge in the water? This is the mystery of life with Christ. Because when a person is full of Christ's life, they are called in the New Testament words, a person in Christ. But they are also someone in whom the life of Christ himself lives in them. And this is an absolutely awesome thought. And at the beginning of our series in Lent, I want us to ponder this off and on throughout Lent. Because the living in us is something which is quite life-changing and quite transformational. The title of our sermon this morning is Living Christ. And it's Christ who is fully alive, and it's Christ who is living his life in us. Christ Jesus not only lives in people, but the way that his life is lived out through people is what we're going to be thinking about particularly over these next 5 weeks. John Cox, an educational philosopher, in his book More Than Caring and Sharing, describes this sense of being lived out as the lived outness of biblical teaching. And Sean Vickery, in her book called Roots and Fruits, which speaks of the ways in which values are so crucial and so important in the way in which our schools can take forward their life, says that this lived outness will be recognized in the fruit or the values that build character and inform attitudes and behavior consistent with the teaching of Jesus Christ. So a Christian is one who is living out the life that is living, it is lived in them. Living out the life that is lived in. Values are evidence or fruit of that life within. And they're evidence of things that are at the centre of any organisation that is seeking to have a particular purpose. In education, the effect of having a set of values is huge on the relationships between people within that school community and governs the ethos of that school. In the National Health Service, you may have seen at Southmead, there are posters that say respect very clearly all over them. And a little note that in the queue where you wait to go and see the receptionist, say, please respect the space of the person in front. It's a value that helps behaviour become not something we are told to do, you must respect that person, but rather a way of thinking that allows us to embrace the importance of that value, and therefore our behaviour flows from it. Many organisations, as you know, have all sorts of values. Now, if you're having double cream from Waitrose, your Valentine's Day celebrations, you might notice on the pot that it says, produced with care by farmers who share our values. Waitrose values dictate the way that Waitrose buys and sells and cares for their customers. And at Christchurch, we have a very clear vision for what we are called to be and called to do. We're called to be a community that together is learning to live the life, learning to live the life of Christ. What we haven't made clear up until now is the values that go along with that vision, the lived outness of that vision of living the life of Christ. Now we could say, well, of course our values are all around love, and you'd be quite right. We can simply love one another, and that's how we live out the life of Christ. And it's certainly true. It's a very, very general word to use. Jesus summarized the law by saying we are to love God and love our neighbor. But he also taught time and time again in many different ways what that looked like in practice. And so to try and be more specific and try to give us an understanding of how our relationships can work at their best within the life of Christchurch and through Christchurch in the world, we want to offer as a vision team four values that are particularly significant for us at Christchurch at this time. And they're prayerfulness, openness, graciousness, and thankfulness. Prayerfulness in the sense that if we can be prayerful about everything that we're about as a people, we will be, as it were, seeking to be in the flow of God's Spirit, listening to God, and open to his promptings, and not just getting on with our ideas. Openness, that vulnerability with one another that seeks to listen before we speak. Openness with God, laying our lives before you, God, as we've sung already. Graciousness, in the way that we speak to one another, the way that we send emails to one another, the posts that we put on social media. When we ask, is that gracious in its character? If we evaluate what we're doing by asking those questions and prayerful about it, we might come to a different conclusion. And thankfulness, at the heart of what it means to be a person who has received so much, is that that willingness, that desire to be thankful and respond. If we at this time at Christchurch are living out those values as a Christian community, it will indeed have a transformational impact on our relationships between God and us and one another, and the witness that we have in our world wherever we live. And our sermons, during Lent, which will be recorded and they'll be on the web, together with some questions that help us to reflect on and apply each week those particular truths. Give us the opportunity to engage as a whole church with these four values and enable us to discuss together what they might lead to in our own particular lives. As we look at them in home groups, the discipleship triads, prayer groups, whatever groups we might be a part, and feed back those stories of how we're living out those values in the everyday, they will describe the lived outness of Christ living in us. So I'm looking forward very much indeed to taking forward these values during this Lent and embed them in the life of Christ Church in the months and years ahead, and to see what God does as we have these key foundational ways of living as part of everyday life as a church. And on this first Sunday of Lent, I want to come back to something even before Jesus lives out these values in his own life, which we'll be seeing more fully in the other services. I want to come back to what was at the very heart of his life. And we discover it in Luke's Gospel, this chapter where he describes the temptations of Jesus. Luke is describing Jesus as he goes into the desert. He describes a man choosing to follow God's call, and he is placed straight away in the wilderness, a dry desert, where everything is dry. And yet Luke describes a man who is soaked. A man who is soaked in the Spirit and who is soaked in the Scriptures. Let me just unpack those very, very briefly. Jesus was described by Luke as full of the Holy Spirit. And he returned from the Jordan where he'd been baptized, was led by the Spirit into the desert where he'd been baptized. That was why he was full of the Spirit. Because you remember, as Paul was preaching about the baptism of Jesus a few weeks ago, he described how the Holy Spirit comes down and the voices heard assuring Jesus that he was the beloved Son of God. Beyond any shadow of doubt, Jesus knew that he was loved by God. He was delighted in, as a newborn son or daughter is by their parents. On this Valentine's Day, there is a sense in which we celebrate the love of God for his Son, and we celebrate the love of God for his children. And it is that love that is first shown that brings out a response from the Son. It brings out a response that enables him to know the relationship that the Holy Spirit brings and makes possible, to call God Abba, Father, that intimacy. Jesus was tempted to believe that he wasn't really loved. The temptations are all about to question his relationship with the Father. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, jump off this cliff, whatever it might be. If Satan could tear down that belief and that security that came from being loved, then he knew that actions that would follow would be very different. That Jesus would seek comfort and self-gratification in that which he could eat or do, instead of through the being lovedness of the Father. That he would jump off the pinnacle of the temple and be caught by angels so that he could be really popular and he could be loved by all the people. But I want to ask, How much more popular can you be than being loved by the God of all eternity? There is ultimate security in that knowledge, so that there isn't any need to seek adulation or praise or affirmation from anyone else at all. But Satan knew that if that foundation crumbled, then the whole building would fall. And that is why he too, Satan, seeks to undermine our own personal inner knowing that we are loved, so that we will look elsewhere for what is deeply at the heart of what it means to be human. The foundation of living the life is knowing that we are loved by God eternally. And that, of course, produces a response. And what is the response that we have towards God's love for us? Primarily, it's seen in worship and in prayer. You are showing that you're responding to God's love by just coming today, sitting here, being here, participating, not only as an individual, but as corporately, as members of God's family, the body of Christ. Worship is an ultimate act of saying thank you to God, of responding to God. And what a great celebration it is. And how marvelous it is when we do come together and worship. But that isn't always the case. It doesn't happen every week in the way that I know that God would long it to be. Love begets love. When my wife gave me a Valentine's card today and some chocolates, my first response was to give her a hug and a kiss. If I'd have just sort of sat there and not responding at all, I wonder how she would have felt. Or if on Valentine's Day somebody is dating somebody and invites them to go out for a meal and prepares, books the table at this wonderful restaurant, and they come, they go to the restaurant, and the woman is sitting there waiting for her boyfriend on this first date, waiting, and he doesn't turn up. The next day she sees her boyfriend, and he says, "Oh, I'm really sorry about yesterday. Yeah, I was just so busy, you know, so many different things on. Just couldn't make it. Really sorry." I wonder how that girl would have felt. Worship and coming together for worship is our statement to say to God's invitation, will you come and worship together as a family? Will you come and be there? He's saying to us, I love you and I want you to experience the joy of giving and receiving that love. And of course, there are so many pressures on us not to come to worship together on a Sunday or whenever it might be. But Lent is the time for disciplining, for reassessing our lives and saying, Lord, you are worthy of the very best that we can bring. And I want to be like Jesus, putting you first and offering my life to you in worship and in prayer. Jesus, therefore, was soaked in the Spirit and he was soaked in the Scriptures. He knew the Scriptures. His family life would have been the nurture place for that to happen. As a teenage Jewish boy, he would have known practically all of the Old Testament Scriptures, learnt by heart. He affirmed them. He meditated on them. He studied them. He reflected on them. He discussed them with other people, how they applied to his life. He knew their power and authority when he was tempted by the Satan. And again he came back with those words, it is written, it is written, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was therefore equipped for resisting temptation by making life-giving choices based on Scripture, because he was soaked in them and he knew their truth and power. So let me conclude by sharing one picture that remains in my head very, very clearly of last summer. And having my grandchildren here this morning has reminded me of that. It was a hot day. It hadn't rained for quite a while. And the ground was so dry, it was almost brown. And our grandchildren came to stay with us. And one of the one things they wanted to do, we've got to get out. Can we get the hose pipe out, Babu? So I had to get the hose pipe out. I could see what was coming. And that sprinkler thing, get it on the sprinkler. So we put the sprinkler on the end of the hose pipe. They stripped off. And we put the hose pipe on. Of course, they just loved running up and down the garden, shrieking with joy as they went up and down and through the sprinkler and just stood there in the shower. To me, that's a picture of how we can respond when we feel dry, when we feel hot and bothered, when life gets all too much. For God longs for us to get soaked too, to get under the shower and to receive the blessings that come from being in that relationship as children with our Heavenly Father. To be soaked in the Spirit of God and the Scriptures of God. For that is the place of which, from which we are enabled to live out the life of the Christ who is living in us. So let us pray. Lord, we bless you that in Jesus you have given us life in its fullness. May we, Lord, have that which is within us that overflows with life to others, and that we might respond to your love with our wholehearted love for you and embrace those things that will nurture us and establish us as Christians who are learning to live your life in this world. For Jesus' sake, amen.